The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground running. And I must say, I've never seen so much weakness in one place. It was a 20-inch bicep with no strength, cause you've been wrapping it around all the wrong things.
Welcome to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spiess. Thank you folks for tuning in and joining the conversation here today. Fabulous show in store for you. We go all over the North American continent today. We start in Williston, North Dakota.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
And welcome back, folks. Coming to you from the Oasis Training Room at Train ND Northwest. Jason Spiess here along with Howard Klug. He's the mayor of Williston. How are we doing today, sir?
Doing well. Lots of things going on, and just had a two-hour meeting with the National Guard, emergency management, state radio. The days just keep going and running together.
Sounds like you're actually a busy mayor doing your job, huh?
Well,
you're wearing the shirt and the hat. You're a walking billboard. I love it.
Well, that started out today with the county liaison meeting, and then unfortunately the senior center's cook quit, so I'm the backup cook over there, so I have to do Meals on Wheels and those kind of things until they find somebody, which hopefully will be soon.
See, a lot of people don't know that's in the town charter, that if the senior center cook quits, the mayor has to take over and become that cook. No, that's okay. Did someone else, now he's got to go and wash some windows.
He can wait. This guy can.
So let's talk a little bit about Williston. It's a community, just by basically the intro here about, you know, the mayor going in and stepping in when the cook quits. That really demonstrates that you guys are a community first and foremost, starting at the top.
Well, absolutely. And it was a few years ago that we just about lost our senior center because of they didn't know how to write grants and those kind of things. And then I got involved in it, probably got too involved in it, because now I'm the go-to guy again. But one of the things that happened is they just changed directors. The director that had been down there did a great job, had retired. So a new person came on. She's still getting her feet wet. And I'll do whatever I can until next week when I have to go on vacation. We'll get through it. You know, I always say that. We'll be okay.
Well, that's good to hear. I want to talk a little bit about the community center, the ARC. That has been such a gem for this community. Is that something that you've seen some positivity on? Because I know there was a little bit of controversy when it first started. I remember a number of years ago. But honestly, I haven't heard very much negativity towards that, except for maybe that the surf waves don't go high enough or something like that. So talk to me a little bit about the ARC and your relationship there.
Well, a gathering spot and a new spot for people that come into town, whether, and then once again, older folks use that facility a lot. We use that for training. We use it for swim meets. You know, Katie Ledecky, the world champion gold medalist, she swam the first lap in that pool.
No kidding.
Because her grandmother still lives here in the city of Williston.
Because it's an Olympic regulation pool.
Absolutely.
I do remember that from the story originally when it was being built. I have photos of it when it was just dirt, actually.
So, you know, and now with pickleball coming in and basketball tournaments, golf simulator, I could go on and on and on about what that facility has inside of it. But more than that, it's what it brings to the city of Williston. Anybody that comes there, that's one of the tours that I take them on if they're thinking about reestablishing themselves to the city of Williston, whether it's a new city administrator or a new principal at the St. Joe's School or at the District 7. I bring them over there and just show them what's going on here in Williston. And that is being paid for by a 1 cent sales tax. And what the citizens got in return was that the portion of the property tax that was paying for Parks and Rec went away. So it was actually property tax reduction. Plus, the other thing is, you know, a family rate over there is about $600 a year for how many. And me, as a senior, I pay $275 or something a year. It's real inexpensive. Plenty of programs, lots of things. In the wintertime, it's a go-to place for birthday parties, indoor pool, the slide, a lot of different things. And then, even more than that, we use it as one of our main polling places.
Oh, for elections?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So the county goes in there, and that's one of their main thing. Earlier this spring, when we had that terrible storm up here and everybody was out of power, we probably had 125 cots set up in that building so people could come in, use the facilities, the showers. The national or the our emergency management came in, provided breakfast and a place for them to stay, and had it all set up. So as you can see, that building is being used for a lot of different events, and we find ways to repurpose that all the time. So it's just truly amazing for our city. You know, when it was first built, it was the second largest center like that was publicly owned in the country.
Oh, and, really?
Oh, yeah. That's really saying something about...
What are some of the other areas that you're seeing some real positivity in the growth areas?
Well, you know, one of the things that we had to do is we went from 12,000 people to probably 36,000 people in a short time. Our wastewater treatment plant was built for 14,000 people. Lagoon systems, which was very efficient. But we were in trouble with the Corps of Engineers and the State Health Department, et cetera. So we spent about $110 million on a new state-of-the-art system. And now we treat all our wastewater in a facility not too far from here. And that water actually comes out cleaner than what's in the river right now. So environmentally friendly, we position ourselves to grow to 60, 70,000 people.
To listen to the full-length interview, check out the website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Don't go anywhere, folks. We have more exclusive interviews and content coming right around the corner. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life We Can Review.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running around that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out. Still some of us.
Welcome back to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We're going to head north of the border to talk to Canada's greatest export, Terry Edom.
Manufacturing return because there's so much natural gas right there that's bottlenecked that can't get to the global markets that need it.
No, I think you're exactly right. You're going to see a resurgence of manufacturing coming back because it's mostly going to be artificial intelligence, and they can get the younger people to do it. And so,
yeah, run the robots.
Yeah, that's what they're going to have, the younger people running their iPads and robots and paying, you know, a lot less for these types of things. But it's going to be very energy intensive in order to do this. They're gonna talk about how it's not, but you know as well as I do, just even to construct a robot, that takes a lot of energy just to make one.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yep.
I agree with you that you're gonna see this kind of this resurgence coming of manufacturing. It's gonna be different though. It's gonna be a totally different manufacturing industry than what people are used to. Hey, what happened up in Calgary and Edmonton over the last 5 years? Because, you know, Canadian oil and gas, you guys got hit hard and got hit hard fast.
We did. And it was, so the industry up here was running 100 miles an hour. Well, let's go back about 10 years ago. The oil sands were really booming. That there's hundreds of billions of dollars being spent in the oil sands. It was crazy. It was too much development too fast, but the price of oil was dictating it. And so there was the spin-off boom. People were being hired from all over the world, I think, but people from like Eastern Canada could go to Fort McMurray in Northern Alberta and get a job driving a truck for $150,000 a year. And then there were pipelines being constructed to move all that product out. And the steel fabrication shops in Edmonton were working flat out. They just couldn't find enough people. And so we went from that to the price crash in 2014, where everything really got hammered and that growth slowed dramatically. And then it was sort of stabilizing and then in a much lower pace. And then along came Greta and all of the warriors in 2019. And that's when our government here, our federal government, really, really started to send out signals that they didn't want the industry around in the long term. So that started discouraging capital
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to ask your opinion on something because you are a media professional. You kind of cited the Greta Thunberg movement as really being the catalyst for the current state of Canada with oil and gas. I think that's a fair way to phrase it. Would you say that was accelerated through the traditional media or social media?
I think Greta is like a complete fabrication of social media. But then traditional media picked it up because they don't know. Traditional media, I don't think, knows how to exist in this new world. They can't compete with the speed. And I'm on Twitter, which is a horrible platform just because it gets so ugly so quickly. But there are a lot of really good energy commentators on there. And I open up Twitter in the morning and I have a feed of capable people that tell me what's happening instantly within the past 10 minutes in the energy markets.
So,
and if I flip to Reuters or something, it takes them half a day and they get it wrong anyways because they have a juvenile analysis. So,
well, the thing is, and you know this from your own eyeballs, like from me with my own eyeballs, a lot of the reporters, they don't have budgets to go to do stories. And so a lot of what they do now is they just follow people on social media. And so they just report on certain people when they get their feeds coming through. Like,
It's true. They quote the social media personalities.
It's like the people and Us Magazine, all the glamour,
Hollywood magazines, the way that they would do reporting on, Julia Roberts and George Clooney. They would grab, Pink's tweet and put it on there and do a whole story around it. Like, oh, look at Pink. She's in a bikini. And all of a sudden, the whole news story is based on a tweet, right? Well, that's the way a lot of these other sports does it all the time. Sports, they live off of that. So it's sad, though, when regular news has gone to that, to where they're now just sitting back, just sitting on social media, waiting to report on someone.
just feeding off of someone else. You mentioned Greta. So Canada's energy in 2019 could be summed up by two pictures. Our Prime Minister Trudeau, Justin Trudeau, when Greta was on her world tour, she came over here in her multi-million-dollar boat, and she landed in Ottawa. He gave her a hero's welcome. He met with her, of course, a photo op. So there's one picture that hit the news where here he is giving an audience to this kid. And then he actually went and marched with her in protests in Montreal. So here he is at the front of this pack of orchestrated school children, all carrying signs saying fossil fuels are killing the planet. And that summed up Canadian energy right there. And that's all that camp, that social media horde that's been pushing the anti-fossil fuel movement, that's all they needed to hear from Canada. Here's Canada in two pictures. And here's what their leadership believes. Here's the direction they're going. And the investors around the world could see that. So you're right. It's a social media dominated narrative now. So that's how the big Bloombergs and Reuters and whatever, the New York Times and LA Times, they pick up these things and like, oh, here's Canadian energy. There's Trudeau with Greta and it's a done deal. And then there's the industry in the background just doing what they do, not having a clue how to engage audiences or because they've just never had to do it before and still not being good at it. And they just get overran by this messaging. And for a decade, there's been people saying, there's an energy shortage coming. There's an energy shortage coming. There's an energy shortage coming. And no one listened, or they laughed at them and they said, wind and solar are here and they're going to take over. And it's just, don't listen to the dinosaur. They're just fighting to save their dying industry. And now it turns out that all of those people were right. But it's kind of too late now.
Terry Edom is our guest, just about 5 minutes left here. And you mentioned this, I call it oil field entitlement, but it is an oil field arrogance. And there are a number of leaders and I tell this story all the time, that I was sitting in an office down in Dallas, and it's one of the top energy companies in the United States. And there was four C-level suite executives in this meeting. This was 2020. And when I, started talking about the image of the industry and comparing it to the smoking ban, about how a lot of the public shaming they did through the smoking ban with the manipulation of information and just the public shaming and all this other stuff, boy, they could not have kicked me out of that room faster. They did not want to hear it. I was blackballed. I'm not kidding you. Less than a week later, the front page of the Wall Street Journal was about how it said the oil industry is the new cigarette industry, the new tobacco. Big oil is new big tobacco or something like that. And I thought, boy, we had close to, if not more, than $1 million worth of executive salaries in that room, and not one of them could see even closely what I was talking about. And not only could they not see it, they got really upset and dug their heels in and basically called.
To listen to the full-length interview with Canada's greatest export, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Terry Edom, go to thecrudelife.com. We have other exclusive interviews as well at thecrudelife.com. Coming up next, we travel down to the Permian, where Sarah Stogner has started a brand new series on TikTok documenting zombie wells. My name is Jason Spies, and you're listening to The Crude Life Week in Review.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? email studio@thecrudelife.com. The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much, much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what love is. Like, that is
Who am I that I would push back? Is that the loving thing you made a bit for me to lie in?
You know, welcome back to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, we talk with America's energy influencer, Sarah Stogner.
Going on through your social media channels, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, sure. So I think the best thing for people to do is go follow me and look. You know, you can. My newest venture is a TikTok account called Zombie Wells, W-E-L-L-Z, because Zombie Wells with an S was already taken. But
yeah, but Zombie Wells with a Z works better with the zombies.
Yeah, right, there you go.
Yeah.
But, so what I found is, especially on really technically complex well issues, right? I mean, things that are happening 3,000 or 10,000 feet below the ground, fluid dynamics, physics, engineering, right? Very technically complex issues. You have to make them interesting to the average person, and they have to be able to grasp what you're talking about. And so I can quickly start talking about hydrostatic heads and pressures and all these things, and people's eyes glaze over and they're lost. But if you show them a picture of a well that's got salt crystals all over it and black crude and it's bubbling gas, and you put some creepy TikTok music on it, and you say, on today's episode of Zombie Wells, we introduce you to the Estes number 3. And I totally stole this from a lady who's been on TikTok for a long time, who in October does creepy lake months, or spooky lake months, she calls it. And so she does a deep geological dive into various water bodies. And she's fascinating. She's got over 1 million followers and she's great. And so how you do this on any subject matter is you find your niche, you get compelling visuals, and you match that with a little bit of education, and people want to learn. They're interested, and it makes it accessible and interesting and, you know, minute little tidbits. And so I'm actually going to follow up. We're in the process right now of creating a new website that people would, it'll be interactive where they can go and click on a map and they'll be able to click and they'll be able to see pictures of the wellbores. They'll be able to get the old records because everyone's looking at it from a different perspective, right? So if you've got an average citizen that has no idea about oil and gas, my goal isn't for them to start going learning the nuances of hydrostatic heads. It's for them to say, this is probably something that could be impacting my life. We all need groundwater. I'm going to talk to my neighbors about the election. Or I'm, you know what I'm saying? I just want to get people interested. I want them to know what the Railroad Commission does, kind of thing. Whereas my motivation for the industry is very different. My motivation with the industry is I want every single subject matter expert who has something to contribute that wants to know about this and wants to contribute, I want them to be able to access the information and then help us figure out what's actually going on, right? Like, so I'm in the unique circumstance of we have these old wells that are, and I guess we should define zombie wells, right? We've got these wells that have been drilled
All right, hang on here. Let's pause for just a second here, yeah. Okay? Because I agree. I was going to interject when you took a breath, which is very difficult for you to do, I could tell, which I absolutely love because you're an attorney. So, folks, we're going to define three different types of wells. First one is orphan wells, and then we're going to define abandoned wells. And then the third term that popped up a couple years ago is zombie wells. So I wanted to find out, first of all, if my definition of zombie well matches what Sarah's definition is. So first of all, the standard definition for an abandoned well is when there's an unproductive well where they actually know whose well it is. So they can identify which company is attached to that well. An orphan well is where they just have no idea which operator is attached to it. And Curtis Shuck with the Well Done Foundation is doing a great job of capping orphan wells, which primarily are from, you know, the 1800s and the early 1900s when there wasn't much regulation and they used like wood for oil derricks and things like that. So to have an orphan well in modern times in my world seems bizarre to me. But we can go on that in just a second. A zombie well to me, Sarah, I've always basically heard it's an upside down house. That yeah, they know who the operator is, but they need to keep it going, but it doesn't operate any money, and so they don't really pay attention to it. Define a zombie well, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so I guess for me, the distinction is, and I'm going to tweak your orphaned well a little bit. They may know who drilled the well, but there's nobody available or around with the financial wherewithal to do anything about it, right? So Joe Blow's oil company went out of business in 1973. Joe Blow's gone. That well is orphaned. And so it can be, typically they're wells that were never plugged. So in my mind, a zombie well, or the way I've been using it over the past couple of years, is these are wells whose downhole condition has not been confirmed. Maybe it's been reported as plugged and abandoned. Maybe it's been reported as just temporarily abandoned and they never came back and plugged it. Maybe it's shut in, whatever. But you don't have enough of the data to know what's happening downhole. And they are bouncing back to life. They are springing back to life, coming back from the dead because of the increased water injection that we're doing now as a result of the shale revolution. That water has to go somewhere. And we inject it deep and it causes earthquakes. We inject it shallow and it comes into contact with shallower aquifers. And these wells have casing that's been rotting and cement that may or may not have ever been there. And suddenly you've got these wells and they become unkillable when that flow is from shallow enough. And then you have to go into all the nerdy hydrostatic heads. But for my purposes, and the reason I chose zombie wells out where we are in the Central Basin Platform of the Permian Basin is because all of the new horizontal drills in the Midland Basin and the Delaware Basin, as a necessity, the reason we frack is because they don't have the porosity, right? So you can't just re-inject the water that comes out through a water flood like we have been in traditional vertical wells. And that water has to go somewhere. And so they're piping it or trucking it to disposals in the Central Basin Platform. They're injecting it into the San Andreas Formation, specifically in the Central Basin Platform. which in some places is an oil and hydrocarbon producing zone, and in other cases it's not, but it has become overpressurized. You see it in the new 4 and 5 string casing designs that they're talking about as they're drilling these new horizontals in the Permian. And so we're encountering much higher pressures, shallower, and it is bringing these old wells back to life.
Water always finds its own level. So you mentioned it's a lot of this is, these are wells that have been unproductive for years that are bouncing back to life because of the, you know, like I said, water is going to find its level and it's going to find underneath. And so just through the natural progression of water moving underground, that's what's bringing these back to life.
Yeah. That they are over injecting into these shallower disposal wells at like 3,000 feet. And they fractured the formation. It's compounding, right, Jason? It's 70 years of sloppy construction, lack of maintenance, and it's biting us in the butt. And we cannot continue to kick the can down the road. I don't think it's fair for us to impose our 2022 knowledge on what these guys were doing in the 50s and 60s. But now that we know better, we have to recognize that we've got a problem and say, okay, maybe they should have done better, but they didn't know better in the past. Once we know better.
To listen to the full-length interview with America's energy influencer, Sarah Stogner, or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life We Can Review.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com. The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much, much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running
on the phone talking with us today, Chairman Christy Craddock of the Texas Railroad Commission. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm very excited to finally get to talk with you. Why don't we go ahead and start with letting people know who you are and what it is that you do.
So I am the chairman of the Railroad Commission right now, and the Railroad Commission is based in Texas. It doesn't do railroads anymore, though. We are the oil and gas regulator, in fact, the oldest oil and gas regulator in the entire country and in the entire world. We always say OPEC is based on us as far as their price controls and other things they do. And so I've been at the commission starting my ninth year. There are three of us elected statewide in Texas as commissioners, and I'm now the longest serving, I wouldn't say oldest, but the longest serving member on the commission as we're brought up right now. And I'm the chairman. The chairmanship rotates amongst the three of us. And this is my third time to be chairman. And I'm happy to do so. I think we've got one of the best agencies in the entire state. And frankly, probably one of the best agencies in the entire country when you talk about oil and gas regulations. So thought for just a second I'd tell you, because we do have a funny name and it's a historical name. Always tell people in Texas, nobody knows who we are, but most everybody else in the country and in the world does. And so we are the oil and gas regulator, but we do pipelines and pipeline safety inspections for the state of Texas. We have roughly 470,000 miles of interstate and intrastate pipelines in Texas, and roughly another 500,000 miles of gas utilities lines. Wow. In Texas. So we have a lot of, and gathering lines are in that 470,000 miles as well. So we have a lot of pipe in Texas. We're the largest pipe state by a sixth. It's an important part of what goes on in the state, and safety is really important, obviously, to all of us. We do gas utilities, like I said, and gas utility rates and safety in Texas. We also do coal and coal mines. People forget we do have coal mines. We're lignite mines, and I also, we're not the West Virginia dig down deep in the ground, but they're strip mines in Texas. So that is an important part of our economy as well as our electricity grid in any given day. In Texas, is roughly 30% is coal-based today. And we also have the other couple of quirky things that people don't realize that we do in Texas. We do have some geothermal. We're the geothermal world in Texas permitting, and haven't done one in a few years, but we've had several companies looking at that opportunity, particularly in South Texas. We also have uranium mines in Texas and South Texas, and so we have new exploration that comes through the Railroad Commission. And the last thing that's on, I think, everybody's conversation bucket right now has to do with carbon, and carbon capture. We have had carbon capture rules in our world in Texas, and we're one of the first states to have them, period, since 2003. So we are ready. Already do carbon capture in Texas and are using it in our oil fields for EOR, enhanced oil recovery. So we've been doing that since 2003. I think we're the first state to have done that, and those rules go through the Railroad Commission as well. So all of that being said, our biggest piece really does have to do with oil and gas and the oil and gas permitting, and we're the biggest state. We like being the biggest, and we hope we continue being the biggest state for both production, rig count. About a third of the country's oil and the fourth of the country's natural gas right now, and production-wise, is coming out of Texas. So we have a big job in the state, and we are happy to have good rules and regulations in place for that.
Wow, that is so much really great information. First of all, is it just for my own personal clarification, the chairman, chair people, chair individual, anyway, for your position.
Chairman. We just say chairman, that's right. Man or woman, we just call it a chairman, it's just easier.
Right. So but you're elected by the people, right, for a term of 6 years. So if you're in your ninth year, you would have won two terms then. So congratulations. That's kind of a neat, just something kind of a side note there. But when you were talking about the carbon capturing and carbon emissions, it kind of triggered in my brain too a lot on the website that I'd seen regarding environmentally friendly practices, or even like, as you were mentioning, the strip mining and whatnot. Once those are done, I had seen also on the website talking about ways to kind of bring it back into nature. How is it that the Railroad Commission goes about maintaining the environmental factor?
Look, we think our two reasons that in our the reason we do our job first and foremost is to prevent waste. So that was one of the reasons we started regulating oil and gas back 101 years ago, right in Texas as it was discovered, and protect the environment. Those are our two priorities at our agency. And so when we talk about protecting the environment, one of the things that we have and have had for years and years and have some of the oldest ones and the best practices, we believe, are rules and regulations, right? And we think they're one, common sense rules and regulations. We try not to overregulate. We try to work with companies and industry, but we also make sure you follow our rules and regulations. To that end, we have inspectors. So we have roughly on the oil and gas side about 150 give or take inspectors just for the oil and gas division. We have another about 30 people who are on our division for coal and coal mines, and then about 70 people in our pipeline division. So almost half of our agency, a good third to half of our agency, is inspectors that are out in the field every day doing inspections. Last year we did over almost...
To listen to the full-length interview, check out the website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. That's going to do it for today's The Crude Life Week in Review. We will be back next week at this time on this radio station. We'd like to thank you once again for joining the conversation. All these exclusive interviews are available in their entirety at thecrudelife.com. From the staff here at The Crude Life Week in Review, my name is Jason Spies, asking each and every one of you to remember... We are all energy, and all energy has a purpose. With that, make it a fantastic day.
I see that I'm crazy for loving you the way that I do, because who could love somebody like you? They say you're too damn small, and I won't pretend. It don't matter at all, but no matter what the trouble ahead, I still won't regret this time that I spent. Sad to be behold, nothing you could do would make me go. Giving me a heartbeat, making me never leave.
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much, much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.